Hello, welcome back to the Voice of the Agent podcast. I'm Toby Martin, and if this is your first time listening, where have you been? Honestly, we've done surveys, we've done rants, we've done guest experts, we've even done episodes that are basically me reading out statistics in an excited voice. They are a lot better than I just made it sound. But anyway, you've missed a lot. You're very welcome. And if you have been here before, you'll know this podcast does a bit of everything under the Voice of the Agent banner. Some weeks you'll get Simon deep in conversation with a special guest. Big brains from data, estate agency, marketing, tech, you name it. Other weeks you'll get me taking you through the latest Voice of the Agent reports. The big surveys where we ask agents and consumers what's actually happening out there, rather than guessing on LinkedIn. And then every so often, we bring you something that I really love, which is live sessions from the Voice of the Agent conference. If you weren't with us at Bletchley Park for the conference, let me paint the picture for you. You've got this iconic venue, home of Codebreakers, Alan Turing, all that history of solving impossible problems. And we thought, perfect place to talk about the UK home moving process, which often feels like a puzzle wrapped in a mystery, wrapped in a memorandum of sale. We brought together agents, conveyancers, lenders, suppliers, data people, marketing nerds. Hi, marketing nerd here, all under one roof and said, right, let's stop moaning in our own corners and actually talk to each other. Some of the sessions were keynotes, some were data deep dives, some were very punchy panel debates. There was laughter, there were strong opinions, there were a few raised eyebrows, and there were definitely moments where you could feel the entire room thinking, oh, they actually said that out loud. And today's episode drops you right into one of those moments. So this is a live clip from one of our panel sessions at the Voice of the Agent conference, all about the relationship between estate agents and conveyancers and what best practice looks like when you're trying to get people moved without losing your sanity. I'll be back at the end of the clip to dig a bit deeper into what we heard and to tie it into some of the data from part four of the Voice of the Agent report, which looked at the reality of conveyancing delays, communication, and who's actually doing what in the chain. Let me introduce the cast because it is a really good one. Hosting the session, we've got David Opie. David is managing editor at Today's Media, so things like Today's Conveyancer, Today's Family Lawyer, and he sits in this really interesting position where he talks to everyone, conveyancers, agents, suppliers, regulators, the lot. So he's the guy in the middle with the bird's eye view, which makes him perfect to referee a panel where, let's be honest, there is potential for a little bit of tension. His brief for this session was, how do we build better relationships between agents and legal professionals so transactions don't take 400 years? And then we had our three panelists. First up, Claire Yates. Wonderful Claire has been around property and conveyancing longer than some negotiators have been alive. She's spent 30 plus years straddling that line between the legal world and the agency world. And her whole thing is breaking down silos and improving the customer experience. She works with lawyers and agents, training them, coaching them, trying to get them to stop throwing metaphorical rocks at each other and instead say, right, we've got one client, one journey. How do we make this not awful? Claire has helped hundreds of people improve transaction efficiency and client satisfaction. And she's very good at using metaphors to explain what's going wrong. You'll hear that in a moment. Then we've got Matt Baldock. Matt is co-owner of Charles David Casson Estate Agents and the HMO Network. He's been an agent for 24 years, so has seen a few markets, a few crashes, a few interest rate hikes, and probably enough odd house moves to fill three Netflix series. He's also brilliant at saying the unspoken out loud. His focus in this discussion and his work generally is on building resilient businesses, diversification, collaboration, doing the basics properly, and not hiding behind the market every time something goes wrong. And in my absolutely unbiased opinion, he is in my top two Bulldog brothers. And finally, Simon Thomas. Simon is CEO of Montpellier Legal and has over 20 years of experience in prime property conveyancing. We're talking ultra high net worth work, £20 million Knightsbridge purchases in under a week, that kind of thing. He's been on Law Society committees, he's been featured in the Sunday Times, but more importantly for this session, he was one of the very few convincing solicitors brave enough to sit on stage in a room full of agents and say, right, let's talk about why this process takes as long as it does and what we can realistically do about it. So you've got David in the chair, Claire bridging the customer service gap, Matt representing frontline agents, and Simon representing the brave side of the conveyancing profession, and a conference room full of people who have scars from broken chains and delayed completions. What could possibly go wrong? What you're about to hear is a clip that drops into the Q&A session of the panel, where we invite comments and questions from the audience. And this is where things got really interesting, because up stands Russell Quirk, never knowingly under-opinionated, and he basically says, if conveyances are causing so many delays and we've got all this technology now, why don't we just kick the conveyancer out of the car and let the estate agent do the whole job? He goes on to talk about no attorney states in the US, places like Florida, where the estate agent writes the contract and through title insurance and other mechanisms effectively handles the whole transaction. His question is essentially, why are we still stuck with a system that takes 6 months to do something that in theory could be done in days or weeks? And if other countries have streamlined it, why can't we? A real hand grenade of a question. Thank you, Russell. So once I play the clip, I'll be back to pull out some of the key themes you just heard and then connect them to some of the data from part four of the Voice of the Agent report. Things like how long transactions are actually taking, what agents and consumers say about communication, where the biggest bottlenecks are in the conveyancing process, and what the best performing agents and firms are doing differently. So if you're listening to this as an agent, a conveyancer, a lender, or just someone who's currently sat in a chain wondering why nothing has moved for 3 weeks, this next section is for you. All right, let's get into it. Here's that moment from the Voice of the Agent conference where Russell takes Claire's driving analogy and asks essentially, why don't we just kick the conveyancer out of the car and let the estate agent drive the whole thing?
Just to extend Claire's analogy with regards to kind of driving down the road, why don't we just kick the conveyancer out of the car and allow the estate agent to do the whole job? Let's be honest, conveyancers have hardly covered themselves in glory over the last 4 or 5 decades. You know, we've now got the advent of things like phones and email and all sorts of stuff. And yet, despite that, conveyancers are now taking 6 months to transact something that arguably could be done in a few days or weeks. In the US, in Florida in particular, they have what are called no attorney states, where the estate agent writes the contract and by way of title insurance and various other mechanisms, actually conveys the transaction as the agent. So there's no chasing, there's no parallel nonsense in terms of not being able to get through to the right person to get the next stage of the transaction through. Why don't we do that? Now, I know that might be a popular thing as far as Simon is concerned, perhaps, but seriously, for the sake of and the benefit of the consumer and the estate agency industry, why don't we just combine conveyancing and estate agency? Because most of the estate agent's time is sales chasing anyway.
I mean, there's a lot to be said for the Scottish system where, you know, you've got estate agents and conveyancers in the same building. Simon, does Russell fundamentally misunderstand the legal system in the UK with a question like that?
Russell, sorry to cut off your mayoral campaign. but the point is, and sorry to say that, the point is, it does need to be changed. So, and again, I get I'm the agent here and I'm meant to be going, oh God, all conveyances are shit. But I don't know a conveyancer that invented conveyancing. Like, I genuinely don't think any of them are enjoying the process. You can tell me if that's different. But I think we all come up with little workarounds and there's reservation agreements and we can do things. But ultimately, the law has to change because you're right. I mean, you can take a heart out of someone's body, put it in someone else's and they can live. But you can't move someone to number one Acacia Avenue in less than 19 weeks. It's bullshit. But nobody has invented that system that is trading today. So I think rather than sniping each other on LinkedIn, people, we actually need to probably get together and campaign, which I'm sure you're very fond of, and actually get change at a much higher level than just kind of in this room.
From my perspective, obviously, I'm not going to go into some international analysis of different ecosystems, but what I can say is that UK system is one of the oldest and actually one of the safest. It's title backed by the landlord troops by the government. So there are Dubai or America, there's all sorts of different systems. Obviously, much newer countries do have. Are able to have more digitized situation. There's sort of unregistered land list that in this country. Many countries haven't got that, for example. The lawyers are highly regulated. Actually, insurance is biggest. Sorry, other than the staff, insurance is actually the second highest cost for property lawyers. I'm not sure how many people know that. And the reason for that is because conveyancing it out of the 32 areas of law, it's the highest claimed area of all laws. So when your lawyer's like, oh, I just need to check this or check that, they're not doing it for fun. They're doing it because they're going to get the blame and get sued if they miss something. So the point is, the consumer is very well protected thanks to that rigorous process. But I'm not here, as I said at the beginning, to defend how well or badly a lot of the property lawyers do things, because actually I'm the first to tell a lot of agents that actually a lot of, sadly, in the profession aren't doing their job properly. We try to use integration, we're using AI, and we are doing things a lot quicker than average. I think, you know, it's companies like mine that are trying to drag conveyancing into the modern world. And even in, with an agency, you know, there's people that are very traditional, there's much more modern agents that are doing it in a completely different way. So there's no reason why at law firms we can't all do that too. So that's very much what we're trying to drive for.
We've got a question up at the top. So the lady first, please.
I was just curious, with this all being discussed in consultation at the moment, which will ultimately potentially change how this is going to work, do you think that this is the right time for that change? You know, with so many big changes in the industry, I would just be interested to know, A, you're going to look at the consultation, and B, whether you think that will actually make any positive changes.
Thank you for that good question. I'm actually, I spoke earlier, this is all done, I want to get involved with that. I think there's lots of fundamental things that can improve. The classic one is actually the completion day. There's no reason at all why completions can't go through on the morning of completion for every deal. It's ridiculous that people are waiting with their families on a late afternoon on a truck. It's crazy, you know. You just need to be organised. Get the money the day before completion. Send it overnight. It's going to be leaving your account at 9 a.m. And it's inexcusable that some firms are badly organised like that. So there's lots of little things that can be improved. Many, many things that we're bored with now. But in terms of timing, yeah, there's no time at the present to improve the system. So I think it is creaking a bit. I think since COVID, a lot of conveyors went out of the industry. They got a bit overworked and got a lot of stress and things that haven't returned. There's a lot of fragmentation in the market too. So a lot of firms are starting to close down, shut down. So we're now currently seeing a lot of consolidation in the market space. We recently actually see private equity investment into this business because they see us as one of the firms that are trying to fragmentally grow and do things in a modern digital age.
Can I just ask the audience, Mike, I'll come to you in a second, thank you. I assume you have to have been living under a rock not to know that there's a government consultation going on about home buying and selling. But, does everybody know about it? Hands up in the room? Yeah, thank goodness for that. Phew. Are you all going to respond to it? Hands up if you're going to respond to it. Yeah, a lot less people. I mean, really, look, to take kind of Kate's point, it's really, really important that the government kind of hears the voice of the whole industry on this. And you know, we take that opportunity to respond. Claire, I'm going to come to you for a question, and then I'm going to go back to the audience. It's fair to say that setting expectations is a sort of regular theme here. And you look, I turn around Simon's point about 70% of people experience delays, which means 30% don't. What are people doing right for that 30% to not? And how are they setting those expectations?
They're instructing solicitors when they go on the market, and quite honestly...
I don't think that's true all the time.
Well, I would say that for those who do instruct solicitors when they go on the market, they are going to put themselves at least 3 to 4 weeks ahead of the game, certainly if we start to use upfront information. The crazy thing right now is we have a kimono moment. This is what you're really buying, which comes a bit further down the line. And it's a bit late. And the buyers had to...
That's just sunk in, hasn't it? Yeah. a kimono moment.
Yes, this is what you're really buying, and actually buyers are having to pay for a glimpse every so often. So let's get some searches done. Let's have a survey done. And it's kind of crazy that you don't really know what you're buying until weeks into the process.
And there we go. What a panel. Every time I listen back to that session from Bletchley Park, I'm struck by just how rare it is to get estate agents and conveyancers in the same room, talking honestly, laughing, challenging each other, and very occasionally resisting the urge to throw something. But what you heard there is just an excerpt of a wider discussion. In the full 30-minute conversation, they get into why communication breaks down, what expectation setting actually looks like in a world where movers still believe it takes 8 weeks to buy a house, why some conveyancers feel attacked by agents and vice versa, and the uncomfortable truth that nobody really owns the process, which is why the process so often falls apart. It's one of the most engaging sessions from the day, and honestly, the audience questions at the end are worth the price of admission alone. Speaking of which, if you want to watch the full conversation, unabridged, beautifully filmed, edited and produced by our friends at PVS Media, then the full set of keynote and panel videos are available to purchase at weareunchained.co.uk. And this isn't some shaky camera on a tripod conference footage. This is the movie version of the Voice of the Agent conference. The full talks, the reactions, the demonstrations, the slides, the atmosphere, it's all there. And if you were at Bletchley Park, you'll know the energy in that room was really something else. Okay, sales pitch over. We talked about some of this a couple of episodes ago, but given the themes raised by the panel, it's worth resurfacing a few headlines. And let me tell you, if you've ever wondered whether the system is working as intended, the answer is not even close. So looking back at part four of The Voice of the Agent, which covered conveyancing and consumers in minute detail, one of the staggering findings is that the average mover believes the process still takes around 8 weeks. But the figure we heard at the conference and the figure supported by industry data in the report is dramatically different. The actual average time from instruction to completion is now 195 days, which is 6.5 months. That gap, 8 weeks in the imagination, 28 weeks in reality, is a perfect recipe for frustration. And frustration, as we see across the data, tends to be directed at, well, pretty much everyone. In the report, we break down where consumers place responsibility when things go wrong. And 49% blame conveyancers, 35% blame estate agent, 32% blame the system generally, and only 10% blame themselves. What's striking here is how symmetrical the blame game is. No one group emerges as the clear villain. Instead, you get this sense of collective confusion. Nobody knows who's supposed to be doing what, and everyone assumes someone else is dropping the ball. The panel touched on this beautifully. Claire talked about the one client, one journey. But the data shows that in practice, most movers experience something closer to three different professionals who don't appear to have met. When consumers are asked what would most improve the moving experience, the dominant theme is communication. Here's some really insightful data from the report. 72% of consumers say they did not receive proactive updates. 72%. 67% say they often had to chase for information. And among agents, 59% cite slow or absent communication from conveyancers as their biggest challenge. But on the flip side, 42% of conveyancers say agents call too often with unnecessary queries, at least queries that they perceive to be unnecessary. And 35% say they lose hours each week fielding duplicate questions. So from both sides, you get this. Why don't they just tell me what's going on? Why do they keep calling me when I'm trying to work? Same sentence, different villain. One of the most interesting bits of the report is that 30% of movers do not experience delays. And the panel hinted at this. David asked what those people are doing differently. And the data gives us some clues. Across those faster, smoother transactions, we consistently see solicitors instructed before or at the point of listing, upfront information packs prepared early, buyers receiving searches sooner, clear expectation setting from day one, agents and conveyancers using shared communication platforms, and far fewer surprise issues emerging mid-transaction. In other words, that 30%, those aren't magical. They're just really well organized. They lock down the risk early, not late. They see the kimono moment, to use Claire's brilliant and hilarious analogy, on day one, rather than 6 weeks in. One of my absolute favorite data points in part four, because I have one, is this. Only 18% of consumers say they fully understood the conveyancing process before they started their move. Yet 85% believed at the outset that their move would progress faster than average. That optimism gap is enormous. And that optimism turns to blame very, very quickly. No wonder Claire bangs the drum for expectation management. If you're starting the marathon believing it's a fun run, you're going to be upset when someone hands you a hill at mile 20. And this is why the panel is so powerful. Matt says the law has to change. Simon says the system is designed to protect the consumer. Claire says the customer is blindfolded in the back seat. And they're all right simultaneously. The system is slow because it's old, cautious, and risk-heavy. The customers are confused because they don't understand the system. The professionals are stressed because they're all compensating for each other's constraints. And the only thing everyone agrees on is that the communication between them is suboptimal. The data backs up every emotion you heard on that stage. And if you want the full debate, including the brilliant audience questions, then head to wearonchain.co.uk. to get the entire session. And we're nowhere finished with the conference content. In the coming weeks, you'll hear Heather Staff on the future of tech-enabled agency and what's actually coming next. Will Alstein from YouGov with an extraordinary dive into consumer sentiment and economic forces. And Phil Agnew from Nudge, who delivered a masterclass on persuasion and attention that had the whole room scribbling notes. Plus more panels, more data, more lively disagreements, and hopefully more people coming away thinking, we can fix this. We just have to talk to each other like humans. Thank you for listening. Thank you for caring about this industry. And thank you for being a part of the Voice of the Agent community. We will be back next week with a different kind of episode. And in a few weeks' time, we'll be back with more live content from the 2025 conference. I'll see you next time. And may your sales progress smoothly, your chains be short, and your completion dates actually happen before 3 p.m. Bye-bye.